You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 23rd of August 2020. And just a couple of things to read out first before we get into the bits and pieces. The guest on the show is going to be Trevor Evers, and Trevor was at the protest yesterday in Dublin. So we're going to be talking to Trevor about that. Well done to everybody who managed to attend the protest in Dublin. And we'll get some information, as I say, from Trevor about that protest. And I'd just like to say very quickly a happy birthday to my sister, whose birthday is on Tuesday. Unfortunately, I don't know how old she is, but age is irrelevant. Anyway, as long as you feel young, that's the main thing. So happy birthday, sister, there. Right, OK, let's get on with a few things and let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email. Contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. By phone 046-927-1212 or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, you know what the communication channels are? We have the website, which is circleofwhitelight.com. You can find us on Patreon, C-O-W-L-R. I think that's patreon.com/COWLR. And PayPal as well. If you want to donate, that's fantastic, if you can do that. We also have, remember, the line is working now, the phone and line, which is 046-927-1212 if you're in Ireland. And obviously you'd have to work out your international dialing from there. But a big thank you for people who donate. One of the projects that I'm going to be working on now, hopefully shortly, will be a fundraiser for sleeping bags for the homeless. Now, I did this in, myself and Steve did this in OIM Radio a few years ago, and it went down very well. And so I'm going to do it again with Circle of White Light Radio. Now, normally what happens is there's an event called the Electric Picnic, a bit like Glastonbury, and people normally donate their sleeping bags after that to the homeless charities. But the problem is that obviously that's not taking place because of all this COVID rubbish that's gone around. So that means that the Holy Grail is sleeping bags for the homeless. And there's a couple of homeless people actually committed suicide this week. I was speaking to Tom Duffy, and Tom put some information up on that. He was very upset about it. So one of the things we're going to do with the Pay It Forward and the donations is to raise as many funds as we can to get as many sleeping bags as we can for the homeless for the winter. So I'll keep you posted on that once I know where we're going, and we'll see what we can do. Obviously, the cheaper the sleeping bags, the more we can buy. That's the plan anyway, which is what we did last time. Okay, right, so let's get into a couple of things that we have on the list here. Right, Tracy O'Mahony, the Galway barrister at law, who's done a great job with her YouTube videos and educating us towards the law, has set up a GoFundMe page to take on the Irish government regarding the mask wearing and challenging the narrative. If you go to YouTube and type in Tracy, which is T-R-A-C-E-Y, O'Mahony, and you'll find her. Now, what I find interesting is the pubs are given out regarding the opening of the pubs. They're given out, you know, you have to have served food, otherwise you can't open. And also, the actual retail association are given out about that also, because shops are having their own set of problems. So I was just thinking during the week, why don't the retail association and the vintners association, why don't they join up together with Tracy and take on the government for destroying their businesses? You know, divide and conquer, that's what the government want. Why don't they get together and work together to take on the government? And even if you have to go to European courts, do that, but take on the government. The incompetence of our government is only unbelievable, unbelievable. But I don't know why they don't do that. Now, Dr. De Bruyn, who was at the actual protest yesterday, posted up apparently that the police are saying now, if you don't have a mask on and you tell them that it's for medical reasons, they want you to tell them about your medical history or else they'll arrest you, which I personally think is illegal. You can't do that. It doesn't say in the actual the law, the legislation 296, it says that you don't have to wear a mask if you have, if you get severe distress. It does not say you have to explain your medical history to the Gardaí. It doesn't say that, right? You don't have to give it to the Gardaí. You don't have to give it to anybody. It doesn't say that in the legislation. So why should you? I mean, if the Gardaí say, well, we have to be satisfied you have a medical condition. So what happens if you have a heart condition? Do you want you to have a heart attack? Or if you have epilepsy, do you want to have an epileptic fit to prove it? I mean, it's just getting ridiculous. It really is getting ridiculous. Okay, so I personally want to go, went to go shopping, pick up a few bits, but I'm but I'll wait until the rubbish mask wearing has stopped. I want to go out and do a bit of shopping and do get a few bits and pieces, right? But I'm not going to do it. The retail shops are suffering because there's people like me, and I'm sure you're the same. You want to go out and do some shopping, but I'm not going to do it because I don't need the hassle. I really don't need the hassle. So I will just get by with what I have, the bits and pieces, until all this rubbish stops, which is affecting the businesses. So it's up to the Retail Association and the vintners to get together, maybe with Tracy, and take on the Irish government. I know the GoFundMe page has reached either the goal or it's near the goal, which is brilliant. And I wish Tracy every success in taking on the Irish government, because honest to God, it's just unbelievable. Right, okay. The other thing on my list here is, I'm sure everyone knows that the American elections are coming up in November. And I have to say, the Democrats are getting a good kicking, which they are. People are not turning up at their rallies, and they are even rolling out the Clintons to try and get support for Biden and Kamala Harris. So as long as the election is not rigged by the Dems, Trump is in, and I feel that this is when the COVID will just disappear. Another 4 years of executive orders to help the people and the deep state are in trouble. As I've said, do not judge a man by who he is, judge him by what he does. And I believe he has changed around 125 things to benefit the American people since he's been in. He has done more in only 4 years, while some of these politicians like Pelosi have been in for 30 plus years and have achieved nothing. Just a big bank balance. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And Biden is the same. He's been in for years. And yet they've done nothing. Nothing at all. Okay, and I'm sure you heard about this after the protest yesterday, but I have to give it a mention. Anyway, Golfgate. The IrishExaminer.com, obviously, this was in the newspaper, on the website. Minister and 80 people at golf event in breach of health guidelines, as they say, a.k.a. Golfgate. Now, for our international listeners who actually haven't heard the story, this is it. More than 80 people, including the agricultural minister, senators and TDs, attended the golf function in a hotel in breach of public health guidelines just a day after the government announced a new lockdown measures to stop the spread of COVID-19. Because obviously when you become a politician, the force is with you and you have this Jedi ability where the virus doesn't affect you, obviously. The Octrus Golf Society event to celebrate its 50th anniversary was held at a function room at the Station House Hotel, Clifton, County Galway. This was during the week. Even though public health advice clearly states no formal or informal events or parties should be organised in these premises, right? The table plan listed 82 people for the sit-down function, with up to 10 people per table, even though guidelines state no more than 6 people should be seated at any one table. Are you seeing the hypocrisy here, folks? TD Paul Morphy said that the event should have been cancelled. I think it's extremely poor that this event went ahead. It shows that they think it's one rule for them and another rule for everybody else. It sends a very poor message when figures from the political establishment openly flaunt the guidelines when ordinary people have to cancel parties, arts events and weddings. Even if they could prove that the partition allows them to get around the guidelines, it's a flimsy excuse. Why do people vote for these idiots? Honest to God, why do they vote for them? This is what you get, a good kick in the teeth. One rule for them, another rule for us. Listen, peasants, you do what you're told. We're not going to do this because we're ministers and we're TDs and we've got Jedi powers and no virus is going to affect us. Honest to God, it's just unbelievable. Simon Harris, who's the health minister, tweets about a bar in Dublin too that people were in drinking, saying how irresponsible they were, but nothing about the 80 in the story I just read out. You see, selective mentioning about what subjects they choose to talk about. Hypocrisy at its best, but hypocrisy seems to be doing the rounds by people who want to come across as a Mother Teresa figure, but in the background it's completely different. So I would always say to people, there are two sides to every story, so do not believe one, no matter who says it, and make sure you engage your critical thinking. So just don't believe one side, make sure you look at the two sides, or maybe three sides, and then form an opinion based on that. Try and find out what the other side of the story is before you form an opinion. People tend to have agendas and their narrative will be based on pushing this agenda. Governments and politicians do this all the time. So, just bear in mind, I had an issue today on Facebook, to be honest with you, with a person who unfriended me. I'll talk about that later and fill you in on the news with that one. So, my week, just things that went on during the week. So how are we doing with waking people up regarding the COVID? Well, as I have mentioned, download and print out a copy of the legislation. So if anyone stops you and says that you have to wear a mask, ask them if they know the law and then show it to them. Now, I cannot give you legal advice, but Tracy O'Mahony can, as she is a barrister at law, and she said that if they stop you from entering a premises because you do not have a mask, then this is discrimination, and they might as well have a big sign on the door saying no blacks allowed. That's how serious discrimination is. They are discriminating against your health, and the legislation says on page 4, section 6, A2, you do not have to wear a mask if you suffer from severe distress. And there is nothing that says you have to prove it either. How can you? So having a copy of the legislation is handy. But if you are entitled to sue the premises who break the law, breach your rights and use coercion to force you to wear a mask, which is against the law under the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Persons Act 1997, their terms and conditions do not supersede the law of the land. Otherwise, you would have every company making up their own laws. Like the credit union issue I had last week, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. So if you want to sue them, sue them. Ring up a solicitor. Find out how much it'll take to what they charge to send a letter out to whoever it is. And tell them that if they do that again, you're going to sue them. And that's just a shot over the bell. Now, the government are pushing to see how dumbed down the people are by saying that you have to wear a mask in your car. And if you have other people with you that are not your family, and also suggesting to wear the masks in your house. I mean, how ridiculous is this getting, really? Remember the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, where they made a $1 deal to swap a rich guy for a poor guy? Well, they are probably doing that €1 deal in the doll to see how many dumbed down people will do as they are told. Seriously, and I think that's what it is. They're laughing in their, you know, golf gate and saying, look at them stupid people and what they're doing. So, unbelievable. So, anyway, we bring our guest on. Our guest is Trevor Evers from the Open Minds Conference, as people have been down there, and it's a great conference. Myself and Steve have spoken at that, and obviously we're down there as well to see the people. And, well, he was at the protest yesterday. Good evening, Trevor. How are you doing?
Hello, Alan. How's it going?
Not too
bad. Thanks for inviting me on again.
That's okay. Good to be back. Thanks for coming on. Listen, I thought it would be a great idea for you to come on, and so you can tell us how the actual protest went and what went on, how you feel about it, and let's just talk about what's going on in Ireland and about this COVID, because I know I'm on one of your Facebook friends and I see your posts on a regular basis, and I know it's kind of irritating of what's going on. You just can't believe that people are falling for this. So tell us, is there anything you want to add about what you've been doing for us before we get into talking about the protest and bits and pieces?
Yeah, but the last 5 months, nearly 6 months now, is it, since this whole nightmare started, I've been, you know, putting out as much truth as I can, whether it be social media. I've done a couple of podcasts as well. Basically, I've attended a couple of protests. Obviously, yesterday's one we'll get to in a second. And the first one, which was 4 weeks ago. So, it's been, as you know yourself, a challenging time, strange times we live in. The world has gone insane, completely bonkers for the last 6 months. So, you know, it's, but I think there's definitely, from yesterday, light at the end of the tunnel. And it was just a pleasure to be part of yesterday's protest slash rally. I mean, you know me, like, we've been friends for a while, and like you can say, I've been into activism, say, for the last, say, 10 or 12 years, and I've attended, like, many protests during that time, including the water meter protests. They're back in, what was it, 2013 or 2014, along those lines. And during that time, I remember one of the protests was over 100,000. But I've never experienced the energy and the intensity of yesterday's protests. I think there was 4,000 or 5,000 people there, but the intensity and the energy created at the protest was really, really brilliant. You know, I'm still coming down from it. I've been buzzing, you know, ever since, and just a great experience, inspiring. Speakers are brilliant. All the speakers are brilliant, but particularly, I think Ben Gilroy was just, he had the crowd eaten out of his hand by the end. So he was just amazing. And also, I think the lady's name is Una
McGurk.
Una McGurk, yeah, the barrister. So she was also brilliant, but also Paul Goff, he was on your show a couple of weeks ago. He was the actual first speaker. So he was brilliant as well. Then you mentioned this gentleman already, Dr. Marcus de Bruyn. He was very good. Dolores Kahl was speaking as well. She was brilliant too. Like, they were all brilliant. The speakers were amazing. But the speakers, obviously, are a big part of it. But the atmosphere was just electric. Like, I haven't experienced that kind of intense atmosphere. Like, the people there just, it was like, you know, it was just, you know, it's hard to describe, you know. It was almost a spiritual experience, if you know what I mean. Very emotional as well. You know, very emotional as well. And fair play to the organisers, both the LFS and Glenn. Sending the guys, and also Health Freedom Ireland, Maeve Murren, who's a wonderful lady. So I think, like, it all went really, really well yesterday. Even the weather, I mean, the weather wasn't great. There was a couple of downpours during the protests. You know, but people just didn't really seem to care. There was that kind of a day. It was that kind of a unity. You know, there was a real intense kind of atmosphere at the protests. And
of course, the RTE, as usual, yeah, decided to say there was 500 people there when there was, what, about 5,000?
Yeah, my estimate was 5,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my honest estimate, 4,000 or 5,000. And so, like, but even with that amount of people, you know, it mightn't seem like a lot of people, but as I said, you know, to be there, something, an experience that I'll never forget, because it really was one of those times where, you know, that you get the hair standing up on the back of your neck,
yeah,
you know, the whole kind of electricity was just going around the whole audience and the crowd. And almost every line was that one of the speakers came out with was met with a roar of approval. And, you know, there was such an intense, as I said, I've used that word, but it was such a great atmosphere, you know. And it's inspiring as well, because it was great to spend so much time, you know, a couple of hours there in the company of like minds and people that, you know, can see the bigger picture and what's going on. And, you know, want freedom, freedom for us all. Because, you know, I've also said this as well. I felt yesterday's protest was just so important in terms of all of our futures and our lives. And I've also feel, you know, I've never attended a more important protest as well. So,
yeah,
with regards to protests, just it was more of a rally, really, you know. And it lasted for a good over 3 hours, and it was I feel as though it's really now the tide is turning, and it's just that sense yesterday that the tide is turning, that there's a real feeling of change in the air.
I'd like to think that, Trevor. Mm. I really would, and it was great seeing the protest. But as I said, later on, I'm going to be reading out an issue I had with a so-called, Facebook friend who unfriended me because, again, I always kind of apply the psychology rather than argue about the point, whether the moon is made of cheese. It's irrelevant. I always argue and I get to the, are you open-minded? Can you challenge your belief system? You know this because we did the seminar. Myself and Steve talked at the Open Minds Conference and we talked about this. And then in the end, he couldn't argue the point because he knew that, you know, I was making sense and logic. So he goes, well, I'm going to unfriend you. And he just says, that's it. I've had enough. This is common practice. When you use and apply the psychology to actually to deal with an issue like this, like the mask wearing, they can't go anywhere because you're applying logic and they can't argue with logic. So they get all huffy. They throw their toys out of the pram. Again, child mind, because this individual, I'm not going to mention any names, but this individual, he does a lot of great work. I'll give him credit for that. But at one time he wanted to be in politics and be a politician. And I said, but I'd never vote for you because your mindset is exactly what we have in there already. Why would I vote for you and put in the same mindset? If you can't even open your mind and at least entertain the thought without accepting it, going back to the quote from Aristotle. And this is the problem we have. And I had this debate with somebody the other day, an older gentleman. In his 80s, we got talking about politics a bit. And he was just not understanding the fact that this is the... He was, well, you have to kind of trust the government and they're there to take care of us and protect us. And I'm going, this is the problem with the older generation. They watch RTE too much and they've no access to the internet. So they're only getting one side of the story and they don't get the other side. Because how can you form an opinion about only one side of the story? And I know you've been frustrated. I've seen your comments on Facebook. And how are you getting on down there with the mask wearing? What's happening down there?
It's difficult, very difficult. You know, I've had this feeling where slowly but surely, the world is closing in, you know. And all avenues of pleasure have been closed off, you know. So there's even I have an interest in music and records and stuff like that. There's a record fair coming to Waterford next Sunday, and I've seen the ad for it already. And one of the first things is there, no mask, no entry, of course. So it's crazy, and you just use the word there. Logic. I mean, logic is something that has gone out the window, isn't it? The last 6 months, completely. Common sense. It's crazy. Everything is so over the top, and there's too many people watching RTE, and another side of it. I mean, although I'm very positive with the way things are going, and it definitely yesterday's rally gave me so much hope in my heart. I still feel as though that, you know, there's a huge battle ahead in terms of waking people up, which is still there's a relatively small number, but growing. I think I found even in the last 2 or 3 weeks, people adding me to these different groups and that, just people that were afraid to speak out before, are coming and giving their experiences. And I got a great message there the other day from a lady who is actually good friends with her husband back in college. And they're kind of like one of these old-fashioned kind of couples that use the same account. You know that one?
Yeah.
They have the same Facebook account. So I hadn't heard from either of them in a long, long time, a couple of years. And it wasn't deliberate. It was just life gets in the way sometimes, so you know yourself. But and it didn't even get any likes from her on my posts. And I got a message out of the blue on Friday evening, wishing me the best of luck for the protests, the rally the next day, and that they agree with, you know, everything that's going on is so insane, it's so mad, and, you know, they're just kind of afraid to speak out about it in case, I suppose, what their neighbours might think, or friends or family. I think there's so many people like that, and it was great. It was very inspiring to get that message from her, because it just shows that there are people out there that, you know, that are seeing through this insanity, which is what it is. But the mass, yeah, I mean, I'm, be honest with you, I kind of haven't been in any shops other than stopping for diesel, and I haven't had a problem there. I've just walked in and out. So my wife kind of does kind of the, you know, we're old fashioned, kind of does the weekly shopping, but, you know, fair play to her, like, she hasn't worn a mask either. But it's not easy. I mean, she's, the other day, you know, it was time, she was going to, she had to go to the shop, and she was very kind of stressed and a little bit anxious about it, and why wouldn't she be, you know? Because she's had the, she's got the stares, you probably got, you know, this, people that have gone into shops surely have experienced this. Getting the stares from the mask wearers, that are actually policing the thing themselves, you know?
I smile at them. So, that's what I do. Yeah. I smile at them. I printed out the legislation. I have it in my back pocket when I go shopping to Aldi or wherever. And I have it in my back pocket. Basically, I'm very, very nice to people. People look at me, go, I smile at them, pick up my food and walk, and I go down to the cashier. Hi, how are you? All fine, you know. I don't make it an issue, you know. I just smile at them. That's all. I don't make it an issue, and I just pretend as if it's my normal shop, and we're back in 2019, and I'm in doing my shop, and I go to the cashier, and then I'm out, and then that's it. Very simple. So I don't make an issue, but I do carry the legislation. And what I did for a local shop, which has a post office in it as well, I didn't want to obviously get into argy-bargies with, you know, the mask issue. So what I did was I was kind of proactive on it. And everybody can do this in your local shop. I went up to the lady in the post office and I said, look, I didn't even apply that was the trouble was going to come from them. I just said to her, I said, look, you might get people coming into the shop and they might end up arguing with each other with about the masks, just in case one person doesn't have a mask and the other one does. So I'm just showing you the law here so you know that if an argument starts in the shop, you can quote them the law. And she said, that's brilliant. Thanks for letting me know that. Right? So I didn't go in the attack with them to say, this is the law and I'm not going to wear a mask, because that wouldn't have went down well, and it's not a good idea to do that. I went in with the fact that just in case the customers ended up getting into a fight, they could kind of come out and go, I'm sorry, what I've seen the law and that person's right, you don't have to wear a mask. So for people who have local shops and stuff like that, if you don't want to go to the big, you know, Aldi and Supervalue and all them, Tesco's, go into your local shop. And show them the legislation. Be nice about it. But don't say that. Don't have a go at them. Just say to them, listen, I've witnessed in other shops customers arguing with each other over the mask. So I'm just showing you this is the law at the moment. So if it happens again, at least you've seen the law and you know about it. And they'll thank you for it. But the kind of psychology in it is that the next time you go in, you don't wear a mask, they'll know that you know the law because you showed it to them. So let's go out. So for all the listeners, go and print out legislation 296 and go in and then say, and show them, say, look, just in case customers actually fall out with each other or they're arguing, this is the law. So don't make it an issue for them. Make it an issue that if customers do it, that way that when you go in, they won't even bother with you if you walk in with a mask. Okay. That's the way I did it. So I know.
Yeah. I mean, like that's a good strategy. Now, I haven't been asked nothing, you know, no one has said anything to me thus far. But if someone did say something to me, you know, I wouldn't even say that I'm exempt, and I'm not a fan of saying that, because if you like saying that, for me, it's like, oh, I have to give an excuse or something, you know, I've done something wrong or I'm making up, you know, something. And then I'm basically letting that kind of have control over me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, like when you strip back all the madness, like we need our noses to breathe. And if someone asks me why I'm not wearing a mask, because then I simply need to breathe fresh air, you know?
Yeah.
But you see, it's gone to a stage where we were in the park earlier on. We went for a walk, and in the park, so this is basically the Watford Greenway, and there was a gentleman who was walked by us, couldn't believe it, wearing a mask, out walking in the park. And I'm like going, what? You know, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of what's going on in these people's heads. So I think the virus is kind of mysteriously kind of whooshing around the air, waiting to pounce on the, you know, the when you're least suspecting it or something. I don't know. I don't get it, you know. So the people have, so like, some people obviously have totally bought into that kind of fear, like with the masks. And kind of like a lot of it to me as well, I see a lot of virtue signaling, you know.
Yeah.
Where people say, oh, you know what, wear a mask, save lives. It's the same as the stay home, save lives.
Save
a mask now. Let's move on to save a mask. Or, wear a mask, save a life.
I put it up on Facebook, you know, oh, we're all in this together. Nope. They're all, most people are in it together who are swallow the BS from the government and the media. They might be in it together, but I'm not in it together with them. I actually have the ability to critically think and do my own research and not swallow the BS from the media and the government.
Exactly. Sir, we spoke already. It's because a lot of people have just, I know a friend of mine, an older gentleman who is just RTE, he's it on all the time, kind of in the background. And, you know, so everything that he says to me is basically something he's heard on the TV. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But a point I want to make as well is that, like, we're only responsible for our own health, both physical and mental.
Mm.
And I see all this, and I've seen, say, people who are, like, you know, overweight and obese and obviously not healthy. And they don't look like people that take personal responsibility for their own health and well-being. But yet they have this virtue signaling going on, and, oh yeah, but I'm being responsible for other people's health. When, how can they have responsibility for other people's health when they don't even have it for their own, you know?
Mm.
So, like, you know, it's crazy, like, seeing, say, all the mask wearers, even in the car, or driving their cars. That's crazy. I've seen a lot of that. And the worst of it to me, which breaks my heart, and I've said it, you probably know what I'm going to say here, it just breaks my heart, and I feel it's child abuse, is having children under 11 wearing masks. And I've seen several occasions where you see poor little boys and girls, only maybe ages and toddlers, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and they're masked up, and it's just not right, you know. It's like everything with this whole pandemic. It's like, you know this, being a spiritual guy as well, and everything is energy.
Mm.
And information is one thing, but right from the start, and I know you felt this as well, that something in at a soul level just tells us that this is wrong, there's something like that's just so wrong about everything, you know. And John Lennon once, you know, read a quote, you know, that questioning the decisions or the actions of insane governments, and you're likely to be called insane for calling them insane, if you know what I mean. And so it's like, you know, it's like walking into a shop, but I know, you know, Terry Lawton, who is a great activist, and I do follow his videos as well on YouTube, and he was saying basically last week, you know, he's going into a supermarket and he's the only one in the supermarket that's not wearing a mask, and they're all masked up as like something out of a movie like The Night of the Living Dead or something, a zombie movie. But yet they're all looking at him as the monster. And that's the whole irony of the whole thing. That we know, I mean, like yesterday, several of the speakers quoted the science, the real science behind why masks do not work. And they're of no use whatsoever. Now, you can argue whether there is or isn't a virus. Now, I don't think it's that important at this point, because even if there is, it's proven to be not as dangerous or as bad as they're making out to be.
Well, they say it's so bad that you have to be tested to see if you have it. I mean, does that make sense to you, that this virus is so bad, you don't even know you have it, you have to have a test to know you have it?
Exactly. And you see, like, that was like in my mind yesterday going to the protest, because I know, and so we know that this is the proverbial piece of string here, that the people that are pushing this agenda, and governments, by the way, to me, are just puppets. Like, they're way down the pyramid, if you get me, you know. You know, they're just reading off the same script, it's obvious. But, you know, they're just pushing all the time. And the cases thing as well. I mean, the cases is that, and I've tried to explain this to people, if you take a step back and think of it logically, there's a lot of evidence out there to show, and I think Una Bagarg said this yesterday in her speech, that the PCR tests for an RNA genetic material and not a specific pathogen. So that means that, say, a lot of people that are going to be tested, they're going to come up as a positive case, even though they're not sick, because they'll have this sequence in their body. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, does
and so it's like a proverbial piece of string, because they can now, to keep this going, they can basically, and what they will do, is keep coming out with cases, more cases. And there's going to be more cases, because obviously the more people you test, the more cases you're going to see. So it's crazy, because obviously at the start, it was like, you know, do you remember the 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever? We'll all be back to normal by Easter Sunday. Well, that went out the window, right? So here we are 6 months later, and it's because, oh, there's so many cases with no one sick, you know? And so it's crazy, because when you think about it, like, in, like, logically, there's no, you know, there's no reason for it anymore. But people, you see, people are so far gone down the brainwashing rabbit hole that it's like, if this was like back in March, they'd probably see through it. But you see, it's so kind of like that they're basically subject to months of the
well, the media brainwashing, isn't it?
The gaslighting from the media.
Yeah, and surely they, you know, when they turn around, when you say to people, look, the government is saying to you that if you go into a pub and don't have a drink, you'll get the virus. But if you go into a pub and you have some food along with your drink, you won't get the virus. Does that sound logical to you? And you have to kind of shake them, you know, I don't mean physically, but you know what I mean? You have to say, does that sound logical? If that does, then you really need your head examined. You need to be lobotomized.
Of course, because, I mean, you wouldn't do it for a flu, would you?
Of course not.
And so this is a flu. ultimately, because it, like, you know, the stats that like 1 billion people every year worldwide get the flu, and 600,000 people a year worldwide die of the flu. And up until this point, like, I don't think the corona and even the inflated figures, and which have been knocked off all the time. I know in the UK last week, they said they overestimated the figures by, what was it, 5,000? Mm. And there's other countries saying, oh, you know what, we completely overestimated the figures, as they have here. You're aware of Leo Varadkar's tweet about that. So even like with the inflated figures, it still doesn't reach that. And if you look, I'm very interested as well at looking at the actual evidence, like the mortality rates, the figures this year, last year, the year before, and the year before that, and so on. And from what I'm seeing is, like, there's actually less people that have died from all deaths this year than last year and then the year before as well.
Well, didn't Byron do that from the hub? Byron went to RIP, the website, and he calculated the figures of deaths this year compared to last year. And I think there's just a marginal increase of people that died. Now, you would think, now I know it's a website, but most people put their stuff up on RIP when a person dies. So you would think that that would be like off the scale compared to last year, but it wasn't. So I personally think, and Paul Gough said it as well in his video, that there's ministers now given a choice. They realise that this pandemic is a scam. So they're given a choice by the senior politicians. You either get sacked with no pension or you resign with a pension. So they say, right, I'm going to resign. And they resign, get their pension and just disappear because they know it's a scam. And obviously Golfgate was a major, two fingers to everybody in the country. I mean, I just don't understand why people can't see through this BS. And again, but they're brainwashed. And then they say, turn around and go, but it's on RTE. And you think, okay, hang on a minute. Let me just do the facts here. RTE, state-owned company, and the government is funding RTE. So let me say, better not bite the hand that feeds you then. So you make sure you do what you're told or else the funding dries up. Considering RTE is now struggling and are giving out about, you know, they need more money. Even though it's state-run by the government. So, do people not see the logic in that? I mean, the conflict of interest here. You're not going to get impartiality from RTE if their wages depend on the government, the money coming from the government, then the government telling them what to say. And the other media channels, you get, you know, even independent radio stations will probably be threatened by the broadcast authority. I mean, I'm speculating here, obviously. But what if you're threatened saying, you better do what you say and do what you're told or we'll pull your licence? Wasn't one of the RTE radio presenters sacked during the week because she actually questioned the narrative? I seen that posted up on Facebook. Some woman from RTE was sacked, a DJ, because she questioned the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not only RTE, though. It's BBC, Sky News, all the mainstream media channels are the glue that holds all this together. And you'll see that, like, they don't have any platform for anyone that questions the official narrative. And as we know, that's why if someone labels you or me a conspiracy theorist, all that means is that we've questioned the official narrative, which is put out by known liars and psychopaths, which are, you know, the media are known to lie, right? Mm. And governments, especially, you know, our one, aren't the most reliable in the world. And so, I'm with you. I mean, it does boggle the mind how people can still be kind of so taken in by, I think that, as I go back to, I mean, the brainwashing and the gaslighting at the start of this. So I'm talking about, you know, those videos of people dropping dead in the street over in Wuhan and stuff like that. You know, like it was so powerful that you know, people can't even shake that off. And that's why you're seeing people like even, you know, the government restrictions are over the top as it is, but they're even going further than that. Like the example I gave earlier on, that the, you know, that gentleman that I passed wearing a mask in the park earlier on, you know, or parents who are masking up their kids under 11, and even with the official restrictions, have said under 11s are exempt from wearing masks. So, you know, it's a mad world. It's crazy, and it's difficult now. You see, the schools are going back, obviously, in the, over the next week or two. And that's why yesterday, I felt yesterday, that was a big thing with people yesterday, you know, because, you know, like, you can kind of do anything to the adults. We kind of, you know, people put up with that to an extent. But once you kind of, you know, get to the kids, then that's a different story. Like, that whole paternal instinct comes out, you know.
Well, what are you going to do with your kids, Trevor, with the school starting up? Are you going to homeschool, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're still, to be honest, we still don't know. We're still kind of discussing it amongst ourselves. It's a difficult time because, you know, there's like my children are 7 and 5, Emma's 7 and Owen is 5, and obviously primary level. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting to see what would be the restrictions. I know the restrictions are more severe in the secondary schools. So that's absolutely terrible altogether, that secondary school pupils will be required to wear masks. I think it's just unbelievable because, you know, as a hypnotherapist, I'm well aware of the importance, you know, of children developing minds, their need to see the facial expressions of the adult and of their teachers, you know, to develop like mentally in a healthy way. And obviously, I mean, it goes without saying, like the elephant in the room is that what kind of subliminal subconscious message is the teachers wearing masks or visors? What message is that giving to the kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Well, a couple of tips, right? Let's go into a couple of tips. One of the things that I've said to people, because, you know, these people are really dumbed down. I'm not saying that in an insulting way, but they're just not getting it, okay?
So they just are.
Yeah, we know it's not down to intelligence, it's down to perception, really. That's really what it is. It's not intelligence. You can have academics who have a high IQ but still don't get it. So it's not so much it's not got to do with IQ, it's got to do with perception. But one of the things that I've said to people on a very basic level was, do you trust the Irish government? Yes or no? That's it. Do you trust the Irish government? Yes or no? And when I said that, the majority of cases, they said, no, we don't trust the Irish government. And I said, then if you don't trust the Irish government and that's your gut feeling, then why do you think they're telling the truth now? Because my ex-Facebook friend, no loss, by the way, said to me, oh, you're entitled to your opinion. And I said, right, so the asbestos scandal was an opinion. The thalidomide scandal was an opinion. The abuse in the church with children wasn't my opinion. How about John Wilson and Morris McCabe? Is that my opinion too? What about the women that died from the cervical cancer scandal? Is that my opinion as well? You know, and that was my point.
I just give in there, you mentioned off here to me that you see a big divide in the people at the moment.
Yeah.
And exactly what you're saying there is true, because the more people that are waking up to the tyranny and that the scam that this is a scam, the more resistance you're going to get from, in inverted commas, normies or people that are actually stuck into the kind of, you know, the Matrix or the plugged into RT and the other mainstream channels. So that's where they get their information from. And you see, we've seen that over the last 24 hours. And it's like almost straight away, there was different groups of, you know, there's this group, I forget the name of it, Nurses and Midwives Ireland or something like that, I forget exactly, that were like ridiculing and condemning the rally, saying things like, oh, you know, they're going to be creating like so many cases now, it's going to be another second wave, and like it's going to be COVID everywhere now, and clusters of it, and ICUs will be full, and like, I mean, it's all this kind of fear-based stuff that they keep coming out with, and without actually, as you know, getting back to your point, I guarantee it, none of them have actually sat down and listened to any of the information from the speakers from the rally, which are all available online.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all this knee-jerk reaction. Oh, you know, we're going to basically condemn you and we're going to put you down. And, you know, but that's actually, the way I look at that is now, is that not to give that any energy whatsoever. Don't give it any energy and just accept it. Like the way I do it now is just accept to know that we're in the fight of our lives here. Like this is like, you know, if we don't stand up, that was what yesterday was all about. If you don't stand up now, is it going to be too late? Because will it ever be, ever again, the world we knew back in February this year? Like, you know, because this isn't going to go away and roll back without us kind of having this massive break. And I think this is the thing. But this is like point zero of the awakening for me, you know, and... You know, you mentioned at the start, yeah, I'm the producer of the Open Minds Conference the last couple of years. And to me now, one of the reasons for the Open Minds Conference was that somewhere down within me, I knew that something like this was coming, you know. Now, I'm not Nostradamus, and I think no one would have predicted the actual speed at which it's come this year. You know, but the purpose of that event was to kind of encourage people, as you know, like your show, to think for themselves, to turn off the programming on the RTEs and the BBCs, and to do their own research and encourage objective, independent thought. And I think the last 6 months has showed how bad that was, because we were kind of like the Open Minds Conference, kind of like, at times, you're kind of struggling, you know, to get people to buy tickets and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to say, if it was a closed minds conference, you know, it'd be a sellout, you know.
But here's the thing, Trevor.
But people are awakening. As I say, like, I mean, people are awakening all of the time. And the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm seeing where there's a group out there, just to reference to mention Ireland Breeds Free, which is a great group, and so emotional, and to read so many heartfelt posts that people put up about their daily experiences of whether it be wearing masks or just that thing where we all have is that, you know what, this is, we're not going to accept this new abnormal that they want us to accept, you know, this term new normal. Because there is nothing normal about it. It's like, it's dehumanizing. Wearing masks is dehumanizing. And I've said it before, like, you know, they're creating this kind of a miserable society, you know. Because, like, what is more important, like, to see someone smile can brighten a day. And, I find it even hard to understand people that are wearing masks to communicate.
I agree.
You know, all I hear is words. I can't see their facial expression.
You can't see them out moving. On the Open Minds Conference, here's the thing. When the guys who did the Sovereign Independent newspaper years ago, we're going back to 2011, 2012, they did a fantastic job. It was ahead of its time. And people just weren't getting it. It was, if it came out now, I reckon it'd be snapped up. But at the time, people were not ready for it. Do you think with the Open Minds Conference, going back to twice the two conferences that you did, I think you did three or two? Two?
Three.
Okay. Do you think, say, next year, 2021, if you were to have an Open Minds Conference, that you would have that packed?
I definitely think it'd be packed, the problem is, though, with the censorship that we know that is accelerating, you're going to find it difficult to get a venue, or difficult to kind of promote the event, and all sorts of problems. Because one of the things I noticed, I mean, the start in 2017, then 2018, and obviously last November was the last one, which is only, by the way, 9 months ago, believe it or not. Mm. Seems like 9 years ago,
yeah.
But only, only 9 months ago. And every year it was getting harder and harder. And as you know, it ended up with a protest outside, a very, very small protest outside the last one, of people that were kind of one of the, you know, of the extreme left. And I'm not into that left or right anyway, but I'm just saying these people who kind of don't believe in freedom of speech and had obviously an issue with some of the topics and some of the people that were speaking, even though, you know, that's the world we live in at the moment, you know. Mm. People get offended by the littlest thing. And this whole thing where, and I've said many times with the Open Minds Conference, that no one was obliged to agree or with any of the speakers or accept all of their information. So people can make up their own minds and either accept or reject it. And that's what it's all about.
You know,
that's why it's an Open Minds Conference, you know. You know, and if you don't agree with it, it's like, it's like, why would I spend energy on something that I'm not into? But, you know, there's that kind of atmosphere out there. And you see that with the whole kind of the Black Lives Matter stuff now and all that. And that last November, that protest and the people that were kind of harassing the event, like, that was like the start of it. You can see that kind of has grown now with all the different censorship that's gone on and on YouTube and Facebook and, you know, the rest of it. So,
you know,
so, yeah, I mean, I think it would be packed. To answer your question, it would be packed.
Okay.
And I would love to do another one, but it would be a challenge to do it in the current environment that we're in. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the world might be different next year. You never
know.
It might happen.
That's it.
But here's the argument that the normies, let's call them the normies, they normally say, well, I trust the doctor from the, obviously, the medical profession, right? And there's no thinking of them saying, well, the doctor that you're trusting gets paid by the government, so it's in their interest to toe the party line, or else they don't get paid or they get fired. That's the agenda, and that's why you are saying, well, I trust the doctor. Yeah, because he's told what to say by the government, because they pay a salary. Where you have Dr. De Bruin, and maybe Dolores Cahill, who are independent, and they're not being paid by the government, so they can speak their mind and be honest. Now, that's logical. In my eyes, it's logical. But again, you get the people who don't think like that, who think, oh no, but you have to listen. No, the doctor's paid. You know, and of course, a lot of their finance comes from the pharmaceutical industry, because they sponsor a lot of the medical colleges. So it's in their interest not to tell the truth, because that's where all the funding comes
from.
That's
what we're up against. I mean, there's a dentist here. I'm not going to name who he is. That I go to, that is wide awake in terms of, like, you know, he doesn't use fluoride, and, you know, he's definitely doesn't do the mercury amalgam fillings and all the rest of it. And I approached him for the Open Minds and even for an interview. And he said, look, I'll speak no problem off the record, but he was unwilling to actually, you know, come out publicly and say anything and speak his truth, because he told me straight out, you know, that he wouldn't have a business. His career would be gone. And you can understand that, because, you know, he has to provide for his family. He has to make a living, you know, put food on the table. And, you know, to do that would be career suicide for him to do that. So that's why I'm so proud and have so much respect for people like Dr. Marcus De Bruin and Professor Dolores Cahill and other doctors like Dr. Vernon Coleman. He's a great one as well. Like, there's lots of doctors out there. Not enough. We need more, you know, to come out and speak the truth about this.
Wasn't there an article on Facebook about in the media over there, or maybe, you know, not so much mainstream, 650 doctors coming together? Now, I don't know how true that is. I just remember seeing the article in passing saying 650 doctors have got together to actually expose in America what's going on with this COVID.
Yeah.
So maybe there is, and over in Spain, I believe there's a group of doctors in Spain who've got together and are doing the same thing as well. So maybe that momentum's going to happen. And I just want to have a quick mention and say to people that there was some kind of energy shift going on last night, because if today you have a heavy head, or you weren't sleeping, or you're feeling a bit down and a bit low, or a bit nauseous, if you had nausea, whatever, there's energy changes going on, because I felt it, my family felt it, I've spoken to other people, they felt it as well. So you're not, you know, losing the plot, and it's not just you thinking you're going mad. There has been an energy shift today. And it's been on and off. Just remember a tide coming in and out, and it comes in, it affects you, and then it goes back out. So just to, sorry, I know it's a change of subject, but it is affecting people. These energies that are happening at the moment are affecting people. So you're not going mad.
Well, I recommend that, you know, you surround yourself with like minds. And from my point of view, you know, just my philosophy in life anyway, like friends come and friends go. And if people, you know yourself, if people aren't on your same wavelength, they just kind of, you know, that's just one of those things. So just find friends that are. And that's why yesterday's rally was so great, because it's food for the soul, you know, to meet people that are on the same frequency as you. And, you know, that intense kind of energy and really like that passion that I felt yesterday, I was really so emotional. I mean, one of the ladies, and I don't know her name, from Health Freedom Ireland, that sang Nessa Dorma, and it was like really, really beautiful. And that was just after a minute's silence as well for the people that died in the care homes since it started. So that was all very emotional, you know, because we all have, we've all been affected by this situation. You know, this is, you couldn't write it like, this is a situation where everyone has been affected by it. But even more so when you're actually awake to kind of what's going on, and you see through the veil of the bullshit. And so everyone is affected, but I think even more people that were at that protest yesterday, because everyone there knows that this is all bullshit. Whereas, you know, the normies, in inverted commas, you know, they're probably thinking, well, I'm saving lives by staying at home, and I'm saving lives by wearing a mask. But in actual fact, we know that it's not about saving lives, it's about control. You know, there's an agenda here. There's a proven agenda. Like, this is like, we know where this is going. And I think a lot of people had that, there was that feeling yesterday where, right, it was like really, this was like so important. The passion there was like people, it was just overflowing with this emotion. And I've seen like so many people crying yesterday and hugging each other. And just this was this release, because it's difficult being kind of awake to this stuff. Because, you know, you mentioned yourself with that gentleman today that defended you on Facebook. So I've many of them. And you kind of like your world shrinks. And your friends, you know, your friends fall away as you keep speaking the truth. Mm. And so when, you know, it can be a lonely place to be that, especially now with all these kind of restrictions, and definitely, you know, in the early stages of the hard lockdown.
This is the journey we're on, you know? Unfortunately, Trevor. It's the way it is. When people start waking up to what's going on, it's the journey we're on. And that was said, you know, I read about this ages ago, that as you wake up to the information, people will fall away around your circle. And it's a lonely road, because, you know, the people that you did link up with over the years will fall away, because you just won't be resonating with them. And also, there'll be probably family and friends as well family members that the frequencies, your frequency and their frequency will just be incompatible and you can't be around them. It's just the way it is as you change, and this is what's going on. And, you know, and we all know about energy vampires. We've talked about it as well. And there's some people now, people will say, I can't be with that person. They just drive me nuts. I can't be with them. And again, on the Facebook thing, one of the other things that they say is they love quoting figures. Well, 2,000 people have died. And I go, well, where did that figure come from? Who told you that? Can we see the death certs? Can we see the postmortems? Can we see the evidence? Again, that just repeaters.
Exactly.
People
it's
who
it's
just
the
repeat.
Kind of thing where people have, and we've said it already, we know this anyway, people have lost the ability
to critically
think objectively.
Yeah, totally.
I went into the, here's the story, I went into the off license with this mandatory mask thing came in, actually the day before. So it was like the Monday, I think it was starting, wasn't it? Last Monday, a week ago. And so I went in on the Sunday, so it would have been 2 weeks ago. And so I've been going in there. Remember, the off license have never closed, Alan, since I started this. And so there's a big sign up at the door going, from tomorrow, of course, you know what's coming, no mask, no entry, right?
Yeah.
And so got a couple of, was getting a couple of beers, and I queried the lady, you know, that was working there about this. And, oh, yeah, from tomorrow, you know, there's no mask. And what she said to me was interesting. She said, and I said, Jesus, this is crazy. I said, so what? I mean, so I'm okay to be here now, so I'm not a threat to you, and I haven't been the last 4 months during the lockdown. And now from tomorrow, though, all of a sudden, I'm not allowed in. You know, when you think about it that way, and she said, oh, yeah, but I know someone who's died of this. People are dying, you know. And I said, do you really? Or are you just accepting what you're told? Because you know, that's not evidence. Just, you know, be told, oh, yeah, someone has COVID. And we know that the cases are faulty,
but,
to say the least.
But, you know, the other thing, Trevor, again, what I was told, and I'm going to say, you know, this is a speculation, but this is what was mentioned, that the HSE have told the doctors that to put down the COVID as the cause of death. Now, they might have it, or because of this RNA, wherever, when you magnify it, everybody has it, so you get your false positive. But if the HSE are telling doctors to actually put down COVID, because I spoke to Katrina, who was on my show, she's a patient advocate agent, and she supports people regarding medical malpractice, and we talked about this. And she said that would be classed as a secondary symptom, not as the initial symptom that killed them. And there's people that have posted up saying we're suing the HSE because on the death cert, my father had a heart attack in the house and they're putting on COVID. And they go, no, that's wrong. We don't want COVID on the death cert. He died of a heart attack. So when people turn around and go, oh yeah, they died of COVID. No, they probably died of an underlying symptom. COVID was probably a secondary thing that they had, but they didn't die from it. And again, they just are repeating what they hear and they don't check into it.
Exactly. And we know that, but I've said it already, but the brainwashing and the gaslighting has been so intense. I look at it like, you know, a game of cards. And the people pushing this agenda, you have to hand it to them, like, they have every avenue covered.
Yeah.
Now, it's like a game of cards where the first card thrown down the table, here, have some of that, was the lockdown, right? Mm. And as David Icke says, love him or hate him, what they do is, like, they don't come along and play all their cards at once. So if they go too far, if they're at A and they want to go to Z, well, they're not going to go from A to Z because people are going to go, geez, you can't do that, you know, because you're taking away our rights and our freedoms and our liberties. So, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? So what they do is they come in with something first, like the lockdown, and they played that card. And of course, they never said it was going to be for 3 months or 4 months or 5 months. It was like, oh yeah, 2 weeks. It's okay now, 2 weeks. I remember them saying Easter Sunday, you'll be able to visit your granny and everything will be good, you know. And of course, we know that didn't happen. And so it went on for another 2 weeks. And so they got people to accept 2 weeks of the lockdown and then put another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks. And I ended up, I don't know, what was it in the end? It was a couple of months, right? And so then to play down the next card, which is the Black Lives Matter card, at just that opportune moment, right? I think it was like very deliberate that that was played at that moment. And then you have the mask card then that's played as well. And so by the time that that card comes, like, people don't know whether they're coming or going. But as I've been saying, you know, from the start, even to the normies, like, anyone can say this, and it's very hard for them to come back, is that if you look at the bigger picture in terms of all of these restrictions, what damage is doing to, number one, of course, the economy and people's businesses and the self-employed and the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are going to be struggling now to make ends meet and to provide for their families and make a living. And there's several businesses I know here in Waterford already that aren't going to open up again. And some of them aren't going to open up in the same way, and they're just gone all online. You know?
Well, here's the problem with the food, Trevor.
And so that's one thing. But the other thing, just before I forget, that's one thing. And the second thing is people's, the consequences of people's mental and physical health. I suspect that the suicide rate, and I've seen figures of suicides, are up through the roof in all countries, not just Ireland, in the last 5 months. You know? So if you look at the consequences to this versus what the whole kind of, you know, the official narrative is, even like, so if you're talking to somebody that like is swallowing the RTE and the mainstream media stuff, that's a good thing to put to them, because it's very hard for them to come back and say, well, you know, that's not true, because it is. I mean, that's just something that if they dismiss that, then there's no hope for them at all. And it's just, it breaks my heart to see where this is going up now. I mean, even like the pubs, of course, you know, I mean, again, I'm not Notre Dame, but I knew they weren't going to open up in August the 10th or whatever it was. And I lay money that they're not going to open up in September, and probably not for the rest of the year. And so I think it's so sad for the you know, the pub sector, or pubs in Ireland. Like, it's just, they'll never be the same again, you know? And it's so much part of our culture as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's where people, that's where we met and we chat and we exchange stories and all of that stuff in the pub, and the bit of crack and the bit of fun. And
maybe they don't want
the reason why. That's
probably the reason why they don't want, the same with the smoking ban, they don't want people talking. Now, the one thing I want to mention is the food. Because people are saying there is obviously the rumours going around that the food chain is going to be purposely affected, and they'll make it hard for people to get food. And of course, people are saying, well, how are they going to do that? What's going on? Well, one of the things what they're doing, and I was watching a video today, and a guy was going through all the list of all the companies that produce the food. And he was saying that if you look at this company, right, the staff have to go in, they have to get tested. Oh, we found so many people that have the COVID virus, we're going to have to shut down the plant, right, until we get rid of these people and they're sorted out and they're okay. And he had a whole list of companies that have been shut down because their staff tested for the virus. Now, we know that they had faulty tests, given false results, and there's false positives, right? So obviously, the more people you test, the more chances you're going to find it. But if the test is fundamentally flawed and looking for the wrong thing, then obviously you're going to find it regardless of the test. If they're going to go in and they're going to go, we're going to have to shut down your manufacturing of food because we found X amount of employees that have it, right? Like the meat plant in Kildare, same thing, we'll shut it down. And if they're going to be doing that on companies, well, then that means that the food chain is going to get affected. So I said to people on the show last week, and I'll say it again, try and have at least a month's supply of food if you can, or as much as you can, because they will try and affect the food chain.
Well, we know what's going to happen, and I'm not being a, you know, I am positive in the future. Definitely think, as I said, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But where I feel this is going is that if they're locking down counties the last week, couple of weeks, and, you know, bringing in these new restrictions as they did last week, and summer isn't even over yet. So it doesn't, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out that when the flu season hits, then there'll be assigning all of that to COVID. And if they're worried now about, say, 200 cases, whatever the case may be, then as the flu season comes in, you can just imagine what they're going to do when it's a lot more than that, maybe double that or more. But I feel as though that has to happen. Like, I would just want to definitely say to you here that it's a great time to be alive as well, because this is, as I said, point zero awakening. There's so many people waking up, but it has to get worse before it gets better. But the worse it gets, it's like the frog in the boiling water. You can see that now. More and more people are seeing through it now, because it's getting so ridiculous. Now, even when we talked about the test, like, I mean, you know, the fact that a goat and a cat now has tested positive for that PCR test, and a papaya fruit, you know, that's just something that is it's funny, really. I mean, it's, you know, but it just shows the whole absurdity.
That was the president of Tanzania who suspected that the tests were rigged. So he actually took a sample from a goat and a papaya fruit and put a name on it, sent it away, and it came back saying that they were positive for COVID, and he knew that it was rigged. Mm. You know, I know, and I'm going to be reading something at the end of the show after I've let you go, Trevor, but I know for people who are awake and aware, it's frustrating. And it's annoying because we have spent, you know, so many years involved in this. For me, 10 years on radio, but 20 doing this. And it's frustrating when you come across people. And when you try to educate people, and some people say, oh, you're very arrogant or that. And you think, I'm not arrogant. I'm just trying to educate you. And because I've actually gone and done the research, I'm trying to give you the information.
That's
right. And you're fighting me on it.
But as you know, as well as I do, that the receiver of a message has to be ready to receive that message.
Yeah, totally.
So, but as I said, I definitely feel that the worst this gets, so imagine, like, if it does get back into a lockdown, and maybe an even harder lockdown, who knows, then this again, like, people are definitely going to kind of, there's going to be more frogs jumping out of that pot, so to speak, you know? Mm. And I've seen it the last 3 or 4 weeks, especially on that page I mentioned, Ireland Breathes Free, because, you know, you put up the post, you see this post on there getting hundreds of likes, you know, and it's something people now are really passionate about, because they know that this is their futures, this is their lives, this is so important.
Yeah.
You know, people can see through this now, because, you know, a friend of mine called over there last week for a chat I hadn't seen in a while, and we ended up having such a laugh about this, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's so absurd that it's funny. Like, there's so many stories that when you look at, see, it's almost taking the piss. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when this is all come out, the story where really serious men over 6 foot are more likely or susceptible to get COVID, you know, this bullshit. So what do you mean? It hangs around and, you know, up at that level? It's absurd. And there was another story then that it hides in your ear and, you know, just crazy stuff.
Well, they're coming out. See, what they'll do is they'll throw all these things out there and see what sticks. You know, this is what you want to do.
Yeah.
One of the guests, Barbara Ann, on the chat room wants to know, will you finish the story regarding the off-license? So when you said to her about the fact that, well, today I'm okay, but tomorrow I'm not, what happened after that? After she told you that, oh, well, my friend died of the virus.
Yeah, so my friend died of the virus, blah, blah, blah. And it ended up with her saying, you know, you're not getting back in here tomorrow. And I just for the crack, I just said, look, but I have an exemption. No, it doesn't matter. I'm not getting back in here. And then when I argued the point with her, she turned around to me and she said to me, geez, you're not a very nice person, you know that? And I was like, oh, well, hold on a minute. I'm the one that you're not letting in here from tomorrow. you know, without a mask, without being muzzled up. And it's just the whole thing of,
well,
oh, it's like,
can I just jump in there, Trevor, because I have to, while I have this in my mind, right, straight away, right, and again, you can be nice about it, you don't have to go on the attack or anything, but
I was calm enough, yeah. I mean, I wasn't.
What you'd say to her is, do you know that that's discrimination and that's against the law? I mean, that is discrimination. You might as well have a big sign saying no blacks allowed. That is discrimination. That's discriminating against your health. Now, here's the thing. What if they forced an elderly person to put a mask on, right? Even though that elderly person might have health issues, and that elderly person then goes into some panic or hyperventilates, falls on the ground and dies. They are legally responsible. They can be sued, if not go to jail. Do they know how serious discrimination is and the effect that they could have on people by turning around and saying you have to put a mask on? Do they know that? The chances are they don't.
Of course they don't. But you see, we've said this already. They've lost all logic and reason. Like, even my 7-year-old daughter, Emma, can see through this, you know. And she said to me, Laddie, why are people wearing masks? Can they breathe? Don't you need your nose to breathe, Daddy? I says, yeah, that's right, Emma. So she knows, like, she's actually more conscious of, you know, children, because they're obviously not put through all of that psychological warfare, which, you know, they want to impose in the schools. I mean, if you look at the schools, well, like in Ireland, who knows? I mean, as a parent, it's a very, very hard time, because I'm also concerned about that whole rollout of this flu mist vaccine thing, which is like an aerosol, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you send your child back into school, and even if you don't consent to having your kid getting a vaccine and even the flu aerosol thing, they shed. And it's going to be obviously sprayed in the air. So obviously that's a concern, you know? God knows what, isn't that? So so there's all sorts of things. I mean, obviously the masks, we mentioned talking about the teachers wearing masks. Now, seemingly the primary school pupils do not have to wear a mask. So at least that is something. But at the same time, all of these kind of things are coming up with pods, you know? You know, you hear this expression, you probably heard
pods, yeah.
Like pods for kids, like, just breaks my heart as well, because, you know, children, like, want to play with their friends, they want to kind of, you know, just be kids, just let kids be kids. You know, like, I've said this already, but the masking of children under 11 is probably, and there's been a lot of craziness the last 6 months, as you know, but that is the one thing that really, really gets to me, because it's just so wrong. You see, you've probably seen the pictures of the schools over in America and Scotland and, you know, places like that, that, you know, have all of these kind of horrific kind of measures, and you know, to have plexiglass built around every desk, and, you know, it's just crazy. Basically, they're treating the children like walking disease contaminators.
Yeah. Well, look,
you know, and that's the message, that the subliminal message that they're giving children. And I remember, like, if you think about this, remember when you were a child and your mum and dad, you say, oh, there's no monster under the bed or hiding in the closet. And now parents are telling their children that, you know, there's a monster outside, it's a virus, and it's very scary and it could jump up and get you. So basically, it's teaching children to be afraid and to be scared and to be, you know, and especially younger children.
Well, you need to do, as parents, the parents who have young kids in school and whatever age, lucky enough, my son actually left school. He's the school of 2020, where they're going to do the leaving cert, where they're going to make up, do some research and look at what their work was like over the year, and then grade them on that rather than doing the exam. So he's the class of 2020 for that. So this is his last year. Now, obviously, he wants to go to college. So we have to look into that. But he's left kind of the school system as such. And he could take a year off, a sabbatical, take a year off, and then, you know, maybe 2022 decide to do it. And maybe all this chaos we over and done with by then. So maybe that's probably a good way. But the parents of young children who are in the school system will need to make a choice. The choice will be either to homeschool or to actually go and take legal advice from a solicitor and then send a letter to have your solicitor send a letter or you send a letter and find out the how to word it in a way to the school to say, my child is not going to be wearing a mask. And if anything is done to force them to wear a mask, you are going to be sued personally. Now, not you know, at the end of the day, it depends who does it. It's better if you sue them personally than sue the school, because the school is only going to be using taxpayers' money to sort out a lawsuit.
But
if they step outside your jurisdiction, like if a teacher knows the kids don't need to wear a mask and then the teacher forces them to wear a mask against what the rules are and the law says, then obviously they're stepping outside their jurisdiction. They become a human being and not a teacher, and then you can sue them personally. That's where you need to work. Now, I personally, I'm in contact. I'm in the middle of sorting out some legal things, and because there's another thing going on in my life, and I'm in contact with my solicitor at the moment. But I've actually asked him, what is the cost of him if I start the proceedings of getting him to send a letter for people I want to sue who are breaching my rights, breaking the law, and using coercion to make me wear a mask? I'm just curious what his price would be for me to send a letter to people as a warning shot to go, you do that again, I'm going to sue you. People need to take a stand. And if the law, like the credit union issue I had, I knew I was in the right, they were in the wrong. Okay, they apologised to me and said, sorry, but we only got the law on Tuesday evening when I emailed head office Tuesday morning and sent them the law. But this is the only way sometimes people are going to learn, is to actually, when they know that they could be sued. And we would be on the side of the law because that's what the legislation says. So, and again, the Gardaí are overstepping the power as well. In my opinion, the Gardaí, if they're asking you for your medical records, it's none of your business. It doesn't say that in the legislation. Where does it say that I have to tell you, the guard, that I have to give you my medical information? You show me that on the legislation. This is why I'm saying it's better to have a copy of it in your pocket, because when
exactly.
you take
so all these new restrictions and stuff are not law, and they're not, as Bel Ginroy said yesterday, you can't give power. You know, this the Gardaí have new powers. You know that thing last week.
Yeah, they've no powers.
You can't give powers with power that you don't have.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
And do you mind if I explain that, Trevor? Because that's so important, right?
Go ahead, Alan. Yeah, sure.
Well, Ben said, for people who don't know about this, in the Irish law, okay? Trevor, I don't have the right to turn around to you and go, Trevor, you have to drive up to my house and paint my house. Do I have the right to tell you to do that?
No.
No. Okay. So if I don't have the right to tell you to do that, that means, you know, and you don't have the right to tell me to do it, right? So if I don't have the right to tell somebody to do something, how can I give that right to the government, who then give it to, apparently, the Gardaí, and then the Gardaí say, I've the right to tell you this, that, and the other? And you think, no, you don't have the right. You've an assumed right. If you can't give something to somebody that you don't have, and we don't have the right to tell other people what to do. So where government think that we, the people, have given them the right to give to the Gardaí, but we haven't, because we don't have that right to dictate to somebody else. And this is what Ben was saying. This is an assumed power, or an assumed right. And there's a brilliant video. Ben did the Open Minds Conference, Trevor, and actually showed a video of a judge being questioned about this, and the judge could not answer. Your man kept pushing and pushing and pushing and going, but you don't have the right, you don't. And the judge was trying to get around it, and no matter way, whatever way he was trying to get around it, he couldn't do it, because your man was right. You can't give something you don't have, and you don't have the right to tell somebody else what to do. You can't give that to the government to give it to the police, and that's what he was talking about.
No, it's very well explained. Yeah, it's very well explained. And look, Dolores Cahill as well made the point yesterday that you made a few minutes ago about writing to the teacher in the schools, you know, that letter. And so to put it in writing as well. And so the more of us to do that, the better. And that's the thing here. Like, because to me, what's really got me going is that, like, I mean, I'm not doing this for the good of my health, and I didn't go up there yesterday. Like, one of the reasons is obviously when you have children, like, you just want to leave them a better world. And, you know, it definitely, like, that protective kind of thing, you know, kicks in, and it's kicked in for a lot of people the last couple of weeks. And that's why people are angry, and it's righteous anger. But as Marcus de Bruin, and I think it was great that he made this point yesterday and said about anger, that, you know, anger is okay, but, you know, we have to be careful as well, because we can't let it
consume
cloud us.
Yeah.
Consume us. Yeah. Yeah, which is a great point. So, like, we need to be aware of, you know, I'm not somebody for avoiding and ignoring the negative, so you know that, because my whole philosophy is that you need to shine a light on the dark to make light again. You know, there's no point in being like an ostrich and sticking your head in the sand and hoping everything is going to be okay and go away, and that's not going to work, right? And we've seen that, and if one of the speakers said it yesterday, I forget which one it was, but if you see something like is happening over in Victoria, in Melbourne, in Australia, the the police state and steroids that there is there at the moment, then, you know, it's not, people say, oh, that would never happen here. Well, have a look around you. I guarantee you, if I said to you this time last year, like, that everyone, well, not everyone, but maybe 90% of people would be wearing masks and all that has happened, in, you know, since this started, you'd probably say, Trevor, come here, I think you've had too much to drink. You know, go off and have a lie down, and we'll have a chat tomorrow. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I wouldn't, because I know it's a testing ground for be rolled out.
But I'm saying all that, though, at the same time, you know, the more this goes on, like, this is really, like I felt yesterday, this is just a start. I was so proud to be Irish yesterday. You know, it's a day that I will never forget. We'll live long, long in the memory. And I want to thank all of the speakers. You know, you were all brilliant, fantastic. Really enjoyed every single one of you. And everyone that turned up yesterday, be proud of yourself, because, you know, you stood up for yourself, your family, your future, and your life. You know, we want to live, you know. And a quote I have said a few times is that we live in a society now that is so afraid of dying that they stop living. Mm. Like, life is for living. Don't let them psychopaths tell us that, you know, especially frighten the living daylights out of our parents and our grandparents, telling them they can't leave the house now again and all this stuff. You know, they're like, you know, I have a close family member who, when the announcement of the new restrictions was announced last week, this family member is in their 70s, had a panic attack, an anxiety attack. And this is what it's doing to people, you know? And it's just wrong. So we know that. So we need to change it and stop this craziness. Mm. But another word that was used yesterday as well is unite. You know, to come together and over one common cause. So we all want, like, you know, freedom. And that's what, like, yesterday's protest to me, rally was all about, was freedom. It's what we want. So that's, you know, just what to put that out there. Well done to everyone involved the rally yesterday. Be proud of yourselves, and it's just a start. There'll be the next one, hopefully, will be again 2, 3, 4 times the crowd, and these things build, because you might see that I put up a lot of pictures of the protests and stuff on my Facebook page. Mm. And one of the reasons I do that is that, you know, I notice, like, a lot of people, like that I mentioned earlier on, that lady sent me the private message, that are looking on, and that hopefully that can give people the encouragement to come along and join us. You know, to know that, look at that, even if you're looking at the pictures, you can see the spirit. You can see we're not all sitting there with glum faces, doom and gloom. You know, it's a great energetic experience. It's you know, because we know we're on the right side of history, you know, and of truth and freedom.
Well, this divide with the people, which is getting bigger and bigger, because, and you know by it, because it's then them and us. And when you go into the supermarkets or go into places where they all mask wearing, you can see the divide. And we've had people, you said it, I said it, other people on the chat room and listeners of the show will probably had friends, family fall out over this mask wearing issue. And so that divide is beginning to happen. And it depends on your understanding and your perception of things, but we've had enough guests on the show to talk about this happening regarding the 85% and the 15%. The 15%, the people who are consciously aware of what's going on and are, you know, more on that other side of the seesaw. Now, if I give you a crystal ball and I said, what do you see by December, the end of December? What do you think would be, where do you think we would be?
Well, I'd like to think that at that point that this movement that has started and is has taken off big time with a passion. And I know the people that I met yesterday are, you know, that they're not going to stop until we win this. This is going to grow. You know, it's not going to lessen, it's going to grow. And so, as I said, the first protest 4 weeks ago, there was 800, 900 people at it. Yesterday, I think there's 4,000 or 5,000 people at it. I think the next day, there'll be double, triple that again. And I've even seen from all members of my family that I've been telling what's going on since the start of this lockdown, like the start of the whole, this whole nightmare kind of scenario. They've kind of said, geez, you know what? Trevor's been right. What he's been saying since telling me last March, and now they're kind of seeing it for how ridiculous the whole thing is. And I've had many people, friends and family, come to me and say that, yeah, you know, I've lost a few as well along the way, but sir, look at what about it? Like, I mean, the biggest fear that we need to drop is the fear of what other people think of us. So we need to basically stand in our power and do what's right for us and our family. And our own lives, because we only get one, and we need to do it now, because now is the time.
Exactly. And people, again, part of the education, the problem is that we have the people who are brainwashed by the government and the media. We also have the background people, and if people haven't seen The Matrix, go and watch it, because you'll understand the girl in the red dress is what we call the background people. And then you have the people like yourselves who are consciously aware and critical thinkers, and we can see what's going on. And this is part and parcel of the divide. I've had enough guests on the show now to give people a good idea of what is happening. And even what I said there just in the middle of the show regarding the energies, you know, hitting the planet. Today has been, it seems to be okay now, but when I woke up this morning, I knew there was something definitely going on. And very heavy energy, very, you know, bring you down. Some people are feeling nausea. Maybe you had a headache, heavy head, weren't sleeping. So there's definitely changes going on. And as somebody said on the chat room, sorry, I think it's past the screen now, but they said check out the Schumann frequency and see if that was actually peaking, because that's changing. You can actually see a lot going on with that. So I do feel that if the frequencies are coming in and hitting the planet and helping people to wake up, which is kind of the plan, apparently. So people over time will wake up, but it's going to take time, and we are in this part of chaos at the moment. We have to go through this. Unfortunately, we have to go through it, because these people kind of have to wake up to what's going on. And what will happen is that once they wake up, and enough people wake up, and we have the momentum, and they see how they've been controlled and manipulated and lied to, then the idea is that they will say, this will never happen again. We're not going to have this happen again, because they have woken up to it. And I know it's frustrating for the likes of us, but that's just the way it is. We have to sit back, become an observer, and watch them. Because how many people have said, even today somebody said to me, after the fallout with a Facebook friend, a lady said to me, oh, I've just recently got into this. So people are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to ask questions. And I've sent her over a link to help her out. And so there are a number of people waking up as this goes on.
And it's not only Ireland, it's all over the world.
Exactly.
I know not, like, you're doing great work with your great show here. But also there's so many others. There's Mark Devlin, who, anyone hasn't heard of Mark Devlin, check Mark out. I think Mark has spoken at the Open Minds Conference a couple of times, and he does a weekly update on his YouTube channel every Saturday. And he has some great presentations, actually, he's done recently about showing how 100% verifiable proof that this whole thing is a plan, not pan, plandemic. And so he goes through that. Just watch it earlier on today. He shows all of the predictive programming that's out there, how this is being forecast and shown in different TV programs and, you know, and so on. And so even, like, you know, I was kind of, you know, during the lockdown watching programs like The Handmaid's Tale and, you know, old movies like Logan's Run and Blade Runner. Mm. So, look, we're not too far away from all those now, you know. So
1984. It's a classic movie. Go and watch it.
Exactly. 1984. I've read the book. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, have you not? Okay.
The book. No, it's John Hurt in the movie, isn't it?
Yeah. No, you watched the movie, and then V for Vendetta, which is another good movie.
Yeah. I've seen that a long time ago. So we're on a, you know, a journey. As Bill Hicks said, you know, always remember, it's only a ride, right? It's just a ride as well. That's why if you see a lot of my Facebook posts, I tend to, a lot of them are tongue-in-cheek. You know, I do have dad rant here and there, but most of them, like, I make them humorous and try to see the funny side of stuff as well. I think that's important. It's important to keep your vibration high, eat healthy, look after yourself. As you said, stock up now at the moment and be prepared for all eventualities. But it is a great time to be alive because we want, like, we've been at this a while now, me and you.
Yeah.
And so there's no greater time in the last 5 or 6 months that so many people have awoken and have woken up, like, more in the last 6 months that have woken up in the previous maybe 10 years, you know, more are waking up all the time. People now are, you know, as we've just discussed a little bit, the whole kind of fake pandemic narrative is falling apart, and you see that with the whole golfing thing and the resignations and,
well, the government is in disarray at the moment because people are beginning to realise that it's one rule for us, another rule for them, and they can go off and have their golfing gate, and they can get together 80 people. And this is the problem. This is the blatant hypocrisy from the government. And I'm glad that golf gate happened because maybe the people who are just, you know, hell bent on believing the government and the media will see that and go, actually, that's not right. You know, even in their own minds, oh, that's not right. No. We're staying at home and being good and doing what we're told, and you can't go off and do that. Maybe they're them kind of people are the people that will actually begin to wake up and even turn around and just start questioning it, you know, because the voting. Yeah. You know, I deregistered from voting about 5 years ago because I'm not even going to waste my time playing their game.
Mm. Well, it's going, like, it's falling apart like the house of cards. And as well as that, remember that the whole, the COVID payment, you know, the hush money, like, that's not going to last forever either. Mm. You know, so that was kind of keeping people all right. So I'm getting a few bob every week on the COVID payment. And so I've said it from the start, like, the biggest thing that from the get-go it is, I was never, because for me, the way I work in my hypnotherapy practice is I work from the set of principles that, you know, the healing power of the mind and body, the importance of keeping a strong immune system, you know, like, I'm into, like, juicing and looking after yourself. As you know, I have an allotment of stuff, so grow a lot of my own organic food. And all of that stuff, like, you hear very, very little in the mainstream media about keeping your immune system strong and, you know, all of that as well.
And why don't they say that? Why do you think they're not saying? I mean, the government should be saying to people, by the way, if you want to keep your immune system at peak performance so you don't get the virus, make sure you're eating healthy. Has anybody ever seen an advert where the government actually said that? I've never seen it.
No.
I've never seen them don't really say that.
Because it's not in their interest to have people healthy.
Of course not.
Because, you know, it's the one people sick.
You're a customer.
You're a customer, exactly. So, but doctors, remember, I mean, they're good doctors, as we see, Dr. Marcus de Bruin, and more. But like a lot of doctors, as we've discussed already, I mean, they're probably afraid of losing their careers. And some of them are also, like, doctors are trained in a certain way to think, you know. And, an example of that would be the benefits of vaccinations as well. And we know that, you know, whether you agree with them or not, I mean, I'm in favor of safe vaccines, which I don't believe that the COVID-19 one is going to be, especially after, you know, it takes years to develop a vaccine, and even the ones that are developed that still have side effects. So,
but we don't
like to be a guinea pig getting that shot in my arm October.
If 95% of people have recovered from COVID, why do we need a vaccine?
Exactly. And actually, it's more, you know, like somebody said today, and this is one of the frustrations that you're talking about, and we would call it normie, but I've seen a comment from someone to say, oh, the COVID-19 is 5% mortality rate, you know, death rate. And I was like, where is these people, where are they getting the figures from? Because even if you look at the official figures, like it's up over 97, you see 98%. But actual fact, they're lying and deceiving people because, simply put, number one, we talked about they're inflating the figures. They're putting down everything, I believe, that is the flu as COVID and the death cert. And you might have seen the meme that I posted recently of a fella in a car crash and someone's interviewing him going, how did you get COVID-19? You know, so you have like, you know, that whole thing where they're assigning everything to COVID. When in actual fact
it's not COVID,
but also point I was going to make there was that they use that word cases, right?
Yeah,
cases. Now cases is important as well for another reason, and the reason is that, like, even if it does exist, right, which if it does, then the chances are with any like flu or anything like that, that it's only registered as a case is that if someone goes to a doctor or an A&E and says, I'm sick. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Like, how many people are staying home and recovering naturally themselves, like you would, like you stay in bed for a while and take a Lemsip or whatever. Like, I would estimate thousands. And if that's the case, then the recovery rate is actually, in my opinion, it's probably 99.9%.
Probably
a
little higher. Well, Trevor, listen, we've reached that time, unfortunately. A big thank you for coming on the show and sharing your experiences of the protest yesterday. And as I say, thanks for coming on. Do you want to give out your contact details so people can find you and maybe hook up with you?
Yeah, sure. So thanks for inviting me on, Alan. And really enjoyed the chat with you, as I always do. Time has flown. Just looked at the time there. Wow, where did the last hour and a half go?
There you go.
Gone. There you go. So, enjoyed it. So, yeah, so I'm on Facebook. If people want to check out my business page, it's Trevor Evers Hypnosis on Facebook. And then I have a website. My website is wadford-hypnosis.com. And my email address is trevor@wadford-hypnosis.com. So if you want help for any issue, such as stopping smoking, weight loss, reducing stress and anxiety, which we know we've talked about, that's a big thing now, I'll be more than happy to help.
Brilliant.
So thanks for having me on, Alan, and keep up the great work with the show. I think there's great times ahead. As I said, hopefully I've done the protest, the rally, justice speaking about it, because I just can't underemphasize how brilliant of an occasion and a feeling it was to be there. I'd certainly never forget it. And it was just I'm still buzzing after it. And like from the feedback that everyone was there, everyone felt the same as me. So hopefully there'll be another day out, another maybe 4 weeks.
And, another protest.
There'll be double, triple the numbers again, and we'll keep on going that way.
So. Fingers crossed. Okay, Trevor, just stay with me there. And we'll be back after this musical break and my thought for the week. So just hang on there, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, Trevor Evers talking about the protests yesterday. And obviously, everything that's going on at the moment in Ireland. Now, for some people who might have tuned in earlier, you probably thought, where's Samantha? Because originally Samantha Bachman was booked in to be on the show. But unfortunately, Samantha's actually working on an eco-village in Australia. And she's very, very busy. And she sends her apologies. But she's just very busy. So I thought, well, what a great time to bring Trevor in to talk about the protest yesterday and get an Irish perspective on things that are going on, especially for our international audience, the international listeners, so they can know what's going on in Ireland and what's happening. Now, some of the rules and the laws that we mentioned are specific to Ireland. You're going to have to check your own laws regarding mask wearing and everything else. As I say, I don't give legal advice. Some of the information I give out tonight was based on from a barrister, Tracy O'Mahony, who can give legal advice because she's a barrister, and I'm just quoting her. So if you want to check Tracy out, go to YouTube and type in Tracy O'Mahony, and I'm sure you'll find it there. Now, the thought for the week. So I just kind of made a couple of notes, and I said, so I was talking about this Facebook friend who removed me from Facebook. And I said, today I was removed by a Facebook friend. Now, he has done and does some great work helping people and families regarding food deliveries. Can't knock him for that at all. But his level of ignorance is beyond belief when he cannot win an argument. And this isn't, when I say win an argument, there's no competition here. I'm giving again what I said in the show, facts, logic, and using the psychology to apply the logic. But what happened was he resorts to insulting me mentioning spaceships. So, and this is what happens. So, now, this person was interviewed on OEM a few years ago, but it goes to show you that some people just cannot see the wood from the trees. They believe RTE and trust their government. He actually stood for election thinking that he would be able to make a difference. Having the same ignorance as the people currently in government doesn't work. Micheál Martin is a school teacher and he's running the country. Oh, unbelievable. These are the kind of people who are keeping the country on its knees purely out of ignorance, which is a lack of knowledge. So what is the solution? Well, things are changing for the better, and we have to go through this chaos to shake the global population, to wake them up and to what is going on. I know it's hard and frustrating for people who are already aware, but remember when you were in the Matrix and you thought that these people trying to wake you up were conspiracy theorists. So you have to keep things in balance. We've all been there. We've all had to wake up. Now, something I just want to say from a psychological point of view, which I haven't got on that, is when people resort to insults, that means that they lack confidence in their intellect. So they know they haven't won, so they start using insults to do it. It's the same principle as if somebody starts getting physically violent with you. If you're having an argument with somebody and then they start using violence, that's the same thing. They lack the intellectual ability to be able to have a conversation with you or a debate with you. So their next resort is to use violence because that's how they'll deal with it. And that's what you're dealing with. The child mind again. The ego. Okay, and that it is causing a lot of trouble. So the more you understand the whole idea of the child mind, which is the ego and the selfishness, and the adult mind, humility and wisdom, when you speak to people, it'll be self-evident what part they are coming from. Because the ego, at the moment with the energies that's happening, we have to deal, and what I've said before, with the shadow side, and it's the death of the ego. And people are fighting it because the ego doesn't want to go. All right. So, and this is the problem with people. So his ego got the better of him, and he starts using insults, you know, rather than, because he knew he didn't win the argument because I was applying logic. And that's the ego, right? Child mind. Okay. And this person wants to be in politics. And this is what you're dealing with. And I'll always go back to psychology because it's studied science and it's all about human nature. And which is the talk that we did at the Open Minds Conference, myself and Steve, about the awakening process and about the child mind, the adult mind, and how the mind works when you're dealing with people who lack confidence in their intellect. Generally, people don't like to say, "I don't know that." Some people who lack confidence in their intellect don't like saying, "I don't know that." So instead of saying, "I don't know," they cover up and go, "Oh, that's a load of BS," or "You're a conspiracy theorist," or whatever excuse, take your pick. This is what they do. So basically, now, I know I said the word ignorant on air, right? But if you look up the definition of ignorant, it's ignoring something. It's a lack of information. All right. That's what that means. But ignorant and arrogance make up ego. So it's part of the ego. Right. So that's just the way it is. That's how the science works. And that's the wording that's used to describe certain things. Now, so if people perceive me saying somebody is ignorant, then as an insult, well, you know, is it an insult? No, I don't want to insult the guy. I'm just calling it for what it is. That's the way I see it. So anyway, that's the situation anyway. You know, that's just my feelings on it. Maybe next week I might think different. I entertain the thought we're accepting it. I have a fluid belief system. Maybe tomorrow I might think different to what I said today. But for the moment, that's what I feel about it today. You know, it is what it is. That's the great thing about having a fluid belief system. You don't mind changing your mind and changing it if something new comes in. Okay, so there you go. Thanks for everybody tuning in to the show on the chat room, on Circle White Light, and also on the People's Internet Radio. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the show. Next week, the lady I have on is a lady called Patricia Curry. Patricia was on the show before, and I'm going to do a full show with Patricia. I'm sure she can tell us about these energies that are hitting the planet and that are affecting people. I'm sure that she'll know a lot about that. So a big thank you to everybody that tuned in. I'm sure coming up on People's Internet Radio, maybe it could be Barry Prince, I think, but I'm sure it's going to be a good show anyway. For myself, if you have any guests that you think you'd like to have on the show, email me and let me know. Contact us at circlewhitelight.com, and I can always email them and ask them if you want to come in, come on the show. That'd be great if you want to do that. For myself anyway, take it easy, stay safe, and print out the law and have it on you and put it in your pocket to educate the people. That's the only way we're going to do it, and hopefully we can change things for the better. Take care, everybody, and have a good week, and we'll catch you next week. Bye bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.